TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Poisoning the Sky, Geoengineering with Chemtrails. A community investigates and fights back. On July 15, 2014, residents of Shasta County in remote Northern California took unprecedented action before their board of supervisors. Shasta County lies under the snow-covered ancient volcano Mount Shasta. It is so rich in mountains and rivers that in the 1940s, the tallest concrete reservoir dam in the U.S. was built to impound 30,000 acre-feet of water for export to Southern California. On this July day, residents of Shasta County were giving testimony before the supervisors on a phenomenon of recent years: the appearance of lingering white trails in the sky above that join to create a haze, and their discovery that after these hazings, rain, snow, and surface water in ponds contain toxic chemicals, among them aluminum. They brought the issue before the Shasta County supervisors as a matter of public health and an issue of citizens' right to know. Residents submitted test data from California-licensed labs showing the presence of aluminum, barium, and strontium in snow and rainwater after hazing events. They brought in copies of patents used by the military and private contractors that list the identical ingredients for use in weather modification and solar radiation management. Those who testified expressed anger that the state and local agencies, such as the Shasta County Air Pollution Control Board, the California State Water Resources Control Board, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife were unwilling to do their own testing. The list of speakers at the supervisor meeting was impressive. It included former U.S. Air Force pilots, former employees of Fish and Wildlife, and the USDA, farmers, doctors, and nurses concerned about the health effects of aluminum. And you will hear their voices in a moment. There was even a guest from Spain who testified about efforts in the European Union to investigate the toxins in the new international solar radiation management programs. The totally unregulated SRM promotes spraying in the atmosphere to cut back on the amount of sun striking the ground. I want to thank the Shasta County Board of Supervisors for the audio for this radio program. They capture and post their sessions on video. My apologies that some of the sound is a bit distorted when a speaker's passion overwhelmed the small podium microphone. Thanks also to Dane Wigington, who had to step in at the last minute as a speaker because an expert witness received a call from a lawyer that made him cancel. Much material presented here is on Wigington's website, geoengineeringwatch.org. Here is Chairman Les Bogg introducing the agenda to an overflow audience.
I will make the obvious acknowledgement. This is a record attendance for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, at least in my tenure on the board. The item that most of you are here for is the item R7. R7 is a discussion to receive input and discuss matters regarding geoengineering chemtrails. Consider providing direction to staff and consider taking other appropriate action as necessary. We have a presentation that has been arranged in advance through Supervisor Giacomini, who placed this item on today's agenda.
Dane Wigington.
First, I want to say thank you to the board. My deepest respect. I hope we can all respect their wishes. The issue of climate engineering, the semantics are important. Too much media and other officials, not saying this board, they've been very courteous, but have not used the scientific terms, and this is not used for a reason, because the term chemtrails is not a scientific term, so we try to avoid those terms. But when you see CBS News, Geoengineering to fight global warming is now mainstream topic conversation with all scientific organizations and with governmental officials, such as John Holdren, Obama's science advisor, who is actively advocating for the use of geoengineering. And again, these are aspects that media does not cover. When we have current administration officials advocating for these programs and the immediate need to implement these programs, this subject should not be marginalized as it typically is by media. This is from MIT. This diagram is from MIT, where you clearly see an aircraft spraying particulates out the back. Now, again, this is mainstream scientific discussion. We have every major science institution talking about these issues right now, that these programs must be implemented. We ask that the science be looked at and that the legitimacy of this issue be acknowledged with the science terms, that this is brought to public attention and brought into a public dialogue. We see skies like this. Certainly, we have a lot of people telling us this is normal commercial traffic, that this is normal, and that this is just random flights flying wherever they fly, and that this stuff sticks in the air. Do we think that commercial aircraft fly in grid patterns? Again, the data is absolutely there, but we have major agencies telling us that this isn't so. In fact, there's a NASA document that says chemtrails aren't real. And at the same time, we have patents from NASA for geoengineering. So there's been a tremendous effort to try to marginalize an issue that's tremendously impactful for all of us, equally impactful. And for our point, I think acknowledgement and disclosure is due for, in this case, for local agencies, the contamination issue. So we have NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, admitting on the record that the atmosphere is now full of particulates and they don't know where they're coming from. So this is quite astounding when you have the agency that's supposed to study this issue that's literally unable to identify the source. When I spoke in front of the California Energy Commission in Sacramento, they acknowledged the state was losing 20 to 40% of its rainfall from, quote, particulates of unknown origin. But that investigation was never followed through. There's an investigation going right now with state water quality. I spoke to that representative. Their Fish and Game has acknowledged that there's aluminum running down the waterways. I spoke to the representative with California State Water Quality, who made it clear that they were not going to test the rainfall for this contamination. But isn't that where runoff comes from? So again, we have an unwillingness to look at the obvious sources. This is a satellite image in the bottom left quadrant. You can see aircraft trails blanket spraying the Pacific. This is visible on satellite imagery every single day. These silvery white skies we see are particulates blowing in from the coastal regions, and we have patents stating the dire need to enhance the marine layer to try to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. It's called solar radiation management. So when we have satellite imagery of this happening and planes flying in loops and grids, and we have this material blowing in on us, it's coming from somewhere. And CARB, this is important. We know this metal's falling on us. I furnished you guys today with about 40 lab tests from the state certified lab showing a very, very substantial amount of metal. And again, aluminum does not exist in the environment in free form. That's important to remember because a lot of agencies try to say it's a common element, we should expect it. This is not the case. It doesn't exist in free form. So it's coming from somewhere, and CARB has told us it is not coming from China. So we know it's a more local origin. Now, we have a known, verifiable, indisputable contamination issue, and we know the board can't stop this. Nobody here expects that. We know that's far beyond the scope of the board, but we do have a contamination issue that's a danger to the citizens. So what I'm asking, is disclosure of this contamination, and we also have a very, very dangerous UV level. The bark is being burned off of trees in town. We're metering this UV with state-of-the-art meters. We're seeing UVB levels 1,200% higher than we're being told. And this is a government document, National Science Foundation, acknowledging that injecting sulfate particles, which is geoengineering, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, will decimate the ozone layer, destroying from 1/4 to 3/4 of the ozone layer. So this is very significant, and this goes hand in hand with what we see. Ozone depletion over even Northern California is very substantial. We're seeing very dangerous UV levels. We're simply asking that be disclosed. That's all. So again, this is a public health issue that we believe is necessary to disclose. I've been in the field with USDA soil scientists measuring also soil pH changes, and this is another arena where we know this contamination is happening. We're seeing pH changes of 10 to 12 times toward alkaline from established USDA soil baseline studies. So again, one more source of confirmation that this contamination is indeed there. Geoengineering causing drought. All of us know we're being droughted out. For 10 years, I've said, because the science says so, that the more they aerosolize, the less it will rain here, period. So again, we have yet one more confirmation of when they spray upstream in our storm track, it diminishes and disperses our rain. Prevalence of Alzheimer's disease going off the charts. Autism, 10,000% increase, known connection with aluminum, same with Alzheimer's and dementia. Alzheimer's and autism, the common link, aluminum exposure. The public has a right to know there's a public health hazard in regards to the heavy metal contamination and the UV radiation. That's all we're asking is for that disclosure. Thank you for the extra time. Thank you for out of respect to the supervisors, they're showing great courtesy that no other board has had the courage to do yet. So let's give them all the respect they deserve.
Oh, Mr. Williamson. Before we move on to the scheduled additional presenters at 3 minutes apiece, I do want to ask this board, before, because you're our main presenter today, if there are any additional questions at this time from this board. Okay. So I have just two questions, and I'd like to ask you, and please excuse this. This is not meant in any other way but out of complete respect. Could you just really concisely, what do you believe the purpose of this engineered spraying is?
I can tell you what the stated purpose is by governmental document, solar radiation management, SRM, to block the sun. That's the stated purpose. The consequences don't seem to be considered with these programs, but that is the stated purpose on almost all UN and global governance documents for these programs.
Okay, and then on a personal level, I have another question. And I've asked many people, and no one's been able to answer this question for me, so I mean this in all sincerity. Why does the spraying create a drought in California and flooding in the Midwest?
Thank you for asking that question.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
When you aerosolize the storm track, and the science backs up what I'm saying word for word, you diminish and disperse the rain. This is not seeding to create rain. This is seeding to create artificial cloud cover. And because there's too many condensation nuclei, it tends to disperse that moisture exactly as we've seen over California again and again. Back to my talk in front of the California Energy Commission, they recognized this fact. I spoke to their top scientist. When you have too many particles in the air, it diminishes rain. It does not augment it if those particles are too small. So it tends to migrate moisture from one place to another, creating drought and deluge. And this is very well documented from every major science institution, from MIT, Scientific American. These effects are known. So it's not a uniform effect. It tends to disrupt the hydrological cycle completely. So when you spray upstream in the storm track, it tends to migrate that moisture somewhere else where it comes down in a deluge. And that's exactly what we see.
Mr. Wigginton, thank you very much.
Thank you, Les.
I appreciate that. Don't go away. Mr. Wigginton, if you'd come back again, please. We're not through with you yet. Supervisor Chappelle.
Thank you, Chairman Baugh.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wigginton, I've had one statement here, and I want to see if you confirm that or not. Is it because it is a public health hazard? Is that one of your number one concerns, that this must be disclosed?
That is our request of the board, because that is why these programs can go on and on and on, because media will not cover it. And this contamination issue, again, is absolutely verifiable. Same with the UV issue. We can meter it for you. We have state-of-the-art meters. So, and we have corroboration from other science studies. So, yes, that is the request of the board. We fully recognize the board has no power to deal with this issue, nor does CARB, nor other state agencies. But the contamination issue is a public health hazard, and we believe that disclosure is necessary, required, and that's all we're asking is disclosure of the heavy metal contamination and the UV issue. That's what we're asking for. Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions from the board of Mr. Wigginton at this time? Mr. Wigginton, thank you very much for the presentation.
My name is Iraja Sivadas. I'm
welcome.
Thank you. I'm a disabled combat veteran, as long as I've stood up in a long time. I am a, an instructor of mathematics at Shasta College and a member of a Union for Concerned Scientists. And this will be very short. I have a very short talk. There's a huge amount of aluminum being found because these sprays have aluminum, strontium, barium, manganese. And there's a lot of argument that aluminum is very common to be found. But aluminum is only common in a bonded form. It's not common in a free form, and we're finding high rates of free aluminum, which is not natural. So thank you again for listening to us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Sivadas.
Alan Buckman, followed by Francis Mangles.
I'm Alan Buckman. I was a weatherman in the United States Air Force. I was a wildlife biologist with the Department of Fish and Wildlife for 38 years. I have a lot of experience, field experience. I've been studying the cloud situation and doing research for the last 12 years. I want to tell you that we're in very great danger from the pollution that's coming down over us. And we've been led astray by the military-industrial complex. And they're responsible for the cloud's creation and weather manipulation programs. They're dark operations. That's why they're not out in the media. Now, I'm here to give you testimony that contrails, chemtrails, they're not contrails, are indeed real. They're spraying almost every day. I sit out with my wolf dogs in the afternoon, and I watch the clouds and watch the spraying program going on. We have clouds in the sky we've never seen before. Almost every day, I'm seeing clouds I've never seen before. And NASA has been even named a few of these new clouds. It's really interesting, but NASA is a corporation. I want you to know that. We were warned about the takeover of our freedoms by the military-industrial complex by both Eisenhower and Kennedy. And Eisenhower, in his parting comments, and then Kennedy later. I think it's obvious now with the Citizens United and McCutcheon rulings that they're gaining traction on us, folks. We are in trouble more than just the spraying program. The metal compounds that are being used are environmentally dangerous. We need to be monitoring them. We need to be testing them. And because our previous inquiries have gone nowhere, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and hope that we can find some testing program by certified testing laboratories to actually measure these effects, and so we have a basis on which we can protest, you can protest, if your concerns match mine. And believe me, I'm seriously concerned with what I'm watching. As a wildlife biologist, I've been watching the ecosystem collapse. When you lose all your stream organisms, when you have aluminum overload in your streams, you're killing your microbial bacteria, and you're disrupting the entire ecosystem. So it goes way beyond just a little bit of pollution. How did Monsanto know to create aluminum-resistant plants? I don't think I've heard anybody ask that question. Okay. So what I'd like to suggest to you.
So that would be your notice to draw to a conclusion, please.
Yes, sir, I was just going to do that. I would like to ask you to put a little bit of funding towards some real testing programs of snow and rain and vegetation. Now, I've tested lichens and found very high levels in the lichens, and they get all of their nutrients from the air and the rain. So it's a good guideline, and I think you would find out a lot of things to help support this.
Francis Mangles, followed by Jeff Nelson.
Greetings, gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity. I am a retired scientist, bachelor's, cum laude in forestry, master's in zoology, 35 years, USDA scientist, Soil Conservation Service, U.S. Forest Service, civil service equivalents in range, wildlife, fisheries, geology, agriculture, soils, ornithology, entomology, botany, mycology, hydrology. Am I qualified to speak? Just letting you know. Okay, these previous guys, I've watched exactly what they do, and yes, they are correct. I've seen exactly the same stuff, so ditto marks on those. Insects. I've done studies in Siskiyou County. They're at 20% in normal. The aquatic insects basically made a nosedive in 2006 to about 20% in normal. So far this year, I've sampled 200 trout stomachs. 98% of them are empty. So sorry about the trout fishing, fellows. The terrestrial sampling is down to about 20% of normal, except for pest species like ants. We're seeing a loss of major bird species, and as the gentleman said, the ecosystem is unraveling, and Audubon's been telling you that for years. You want some figures? Okay, latest water test, tested the rain. 13,100 micrograms per liter of aluminum in the rain in 2013. Normally, it should be zero. In the snow on Mount Shasta, pristine Mount Shasta, 8,000 foot level, 61,000 micrograms per liter. Now, these tests are international in scope. We're seeing this all over the world, guys. Okay, pH of acid soils is 20 times more alkaline. The aluminum in the soil has doubled in the last 10 years. The rain normal was 5.6. It's 20 times more alkaline. Aluminum blocks essential nutrients. I am unable in my garden to restore normal pH, and that's because nanoparticles are now in the circulatory systems of both plants and humans. So welcome, fellow guinea pigs. The collapse and decrease of agriculture is something I worry about even more than the previous info about autism and Alzheimer's.
Thank you, Mr. Manglis.
Hamid Rabiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. Rabi is the last name.
Hamid,
first name.
I'm sorry.
Right, I heard something similar to my name. That was close enough. I'm a neurologist practicing in Reading for 17 years. And in the past 5 years, I have seen the number of patients with Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, and other neurodegenerative diseases tremendously increase, almost quadruple. What is the reason for that? I don't have enough knowledge and data to draw a conclusion. And basically, even no one center, even university-based center, can come to a firm conclusion for the reason for that. But the explanation that they provide to us, that the reason for increased number of these patients is because of increase in the population of aging people. It means that people are getting older and stay alive because of progress of medicine, and that causes the dementia to surface up. Does not seem very convincing. Almost is like saying that dementia is like this and an act of God. On the other hand, we do know that we have a trend. We have a trend of thought for a long time that we make a mistake and we jump into a very simple, the most simple or a straightforward, fixed it at any price solution. And it seems like this is the scenario is playing at the present time. We know that there are a small group of experts, scientists, that their conflict or lack of conflict of interest is not very clear to us. Basically have the eyes and ears of those in power in the government, and they are circulating the idea of this so-called quick fix for environmental calamities that has happened. And that is what is basically geoengineering. They provide solutions basically, as you heard, to spray nanoparticles, very small particles, to basically reflect the dangerous irradiation from the space. These nanoparticles, they basically trigger a programmed cell death in the brain, and that is the ultimate path we see in Alzheimer's.
Thank you, Mr. Rabiz.
Russ Lazuka, followed by Fred Meyer.
Thank you, board, for hearing me today. My name is Russ Lazuka, Shasta County resident, 20 years, U.S. Air Force veteran, 17 years of aviation experience, and 15 years as a commercial pilot, to include Delta Airlines. That being stated, I have witnessed various weather phenomena. Commercial aircraft are assigned a code, a radar identification called a squawk. They are assigned altitudes and airways like highways in the sky. Contracted tankers, that is civilians like Evergreen, flying for the purpose of weather modification will not have a squawk code, nor will they be on an assigned airway. They will also be on military radio channels. Commercial air traffic control will not be able to inform commercial pilots of approximate aircraft. Therefore, you look up and you see all these grid and crisscross patterns of aerosol in the sky, and there are no passengers on board. Those trails, if they are true condensation trails, will completely dissipate within 15 seconds. A statement issued by the United States Air Force that contrails become visible roughly about a wingspan behind an aircraft. A Boeing 757 has a wingspan of about 125 feet. Tons of aerosol can be released in a line up to 250 miles or in huge clusters. That's when you see the interruptions in the sky of batches of artificial cirrus clouds. However, behind an aerosol spraying aircraft, they stream, persist, and according to the winds aloft, will dissipate only after hours of lingering because the chemicals are falling out of the sky onto the planet. I will close with this. No one has to have prescience to become informed. It's there. Look up. Look around. There are no contiguous states, nor Alaska, or Hawaii, nor the future state of Jefferson, or any other continent who is impervious to the aerosol chemicals and contaminant particulates purposely sprayed in our stratosphere. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lazuka.
That was Chairman Les Bogg of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, thanking the speaker. You heard the first part of a one-hour documentary of an unprecedented Shasta County, California supervisors meeting on geoengineering with chemtrails. Poisoning the Sky will return with links and specifics on how to get citizen initiatives and testing going elsewhere. Meanwhile, the website geoengineeringwatch.org has a plethora of material on this topic, including a huge collection of test data, not just from Shasta County. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. You can get information on how to order a one-hour CD at cost on tucradio.org or by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation keeps this program on the air. TUC Radio's mailing address is Post Office Box 44, Calpella, California, 95418. That's Calpella, California, 95418. For more information, call 707-463-2654. Or go to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org, for the address and donate buttons. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.